Good morning, people of God.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Good. It is well with my soul.
God is good
all the time.
I've heard something that says that when you say God is good, you say, look at me. I am happy to be here. Thanks so much, Reverend Heidi, for the opportunity to come and be in your pulpit this morning. And I do not take it light. If things were to be changed, it would be Jesus himself standing here. So it is quite an honor for me to come and be in this place. And we thank God for his word this morning, as it's the word has just been read. And it's that day where we commemorate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Jesus had been ministering in Galilee, and now he's on his last lap as he goes up to Jerusalem. He has established his kingdom. He has to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. There is public interest on this person, Jesus, as a result of him having raised Lazarus from the dead. Many people are interested to see who this Jesus is. However, chief priests have a price tag on his head. Anyone who can help assist in catching him will be rewarded. And so this week introduces us the events that lead to the culmination of Jesus' earthly ministry, which will result in the day that we are so looking forward to, is the Sunday. Jesus, knowing that his hour was at hand, he was not threatened. He knew that the Pharisees were after him and the chief priests. Perhaps if it was me, I would not have gone to Jerusalem. But because that is Jesus, he had to go there. And so as I was reading this text, I was wrestling and wondering what to talk about. Then this thought came to me that yes, people were throwing clocks on the road and they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. But why did Jesus choose Jerusalem? Couldn't he have gone to Caesarea Philippi? And why people were shouting? What does the shouting mean to people? What did it mean to Jesus at the time? And what does it mean to us today? And so allow me this morning, as I briefly reflect on what I termed God's kingdom ushered, with just 3 points. I don't know if Presbyterians do that, but Methodists, they always make sure that it's 3 points.
We only have one.
And so my points are, the first one is Jerusalem. The second one is kingdom misunderstood. And the third one is kingdom rejected. History informs us that when King David conquered from the Jebusites, he fortified Jerusalem to be his seat of kingdom, where his palace was going to be. And as it was located on the mountainside, some scholars, they believe that it was located on the Mount Moriah, which is the place wherein Abraham was told by God and tested his faith to go and offer his only son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. And funny enough, as I reflected on that, I thought that the phrase, beloved son, which was applied to Isaac when God tested Abraham, is the same phrase that God used in referring to Jesus, which is the word that was said in Jesus' baptism, and also at Jesus' transfiguration. And so Jesus goes into Jerusalem, which has this history for Israelites, but also it will be the site upon which Jesus becomes the once for all sacrifice for each and every one of us. At the time of Jesus' reign, or at the time of Jesus' walking on earth, Jerusalem was under Roman rule. Inasmuch as it was under Roman rule, the Israelites were given the freedom to continue with their worship services and their festivals, which is the reason why the many pilgrims were thronging, flocking to Jerusalem in preparation for the Passover festival. And Jerusalem was the seat of power, religious power and political power for the Israelites. And so Jesus goes ushering God's kingdom into this Jerusalem that others would see as the capital, that not anybody just goes there, but you only go there because you're going for the festivals. Maybe if I would bring it to South Africa, nobody goes to the parliament unless you've got an appointment to go see somebody in the parliament, or it's an open day like your sauna wherein there are invitations and then you respond to, then you can go to. But this Jerusalem that Jesus went to, as I said, it has the temple. And it's interesting that as Jesus went into Jerusalem, he also went into the temple. And by so doing, going straight to the people who had a price tag for him, so that they could kill him, because as John tells us, as he went into Jerusalem, the Pharisees and the chief priests were like, what are we going to do? The whole country, the whole nation, all people are following him. But this Jerusalem, as I read in the Hebrews, the Jerusalem that they saw, it is a Jerusalem that they can touch. The temple that they had, it was a temple that they can touch and feel. But Jesus comes around to 10 tables around, that in as much as you see this, it is not the end of it all. You need to go beyond the buildings. You need to go beyond what can be touched and can be felt. But you need to come to the holy city, Mount Zion, where the throng of angels gathered together in worship. Because what they were doing as the religious leaders in Jerusalem, they were treading upon the rights of the lowly. Because in the temple, there were courts wherein, if you are not a Jew, according to their law and according to their tradition, you are not allowed to come and worship together with them. You could only stay at a particular place. And if you come with your offerings, and if they, upon the inspection, they find that there is a blemish of some sort in the kind of sacrifice that you're bringing, you had to go to the corner and exchange that. And I've always wondered, how do they make sure that whatever was kept there was pure? And my mind tells me that I would come with my beast, which was said to be blemished, and I would go there, make an exchange, and I'd be given another one, which the previous hour was brought by somebody, and it was said to be blemished. Because that's the kind of thing that was doing, and they're making money out of people who came all the way. And if you didn't have temple money, tough luck on you, there were temple taxes. And so Jesus came with God's kingdom to break down the barriers that stop people away from worshiping God. And it's so much unfortunate that even in our times, in our places of worship, there are things which bar people from coming to worship God. Perhaps what we say, and perhaps things that we put. You know, we might not say them, but they are there. And somebody sitting there is like, I can't. I'm not fit to be in this place. But Jesus has come so that he can break those. And as Jesus went there, the Bible tells us that he rode in a cart. The people were ahead of him and those who were behind him, they were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Luke mentions that blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Mark and Luke says, blessed is the one who comes. They were saying that because of the miracles that they'd seen. And perhaps some of those in the crowd, they were seeing in Jesus the fulfillment of the prophecies. As you read in Zechariah, "Let rejoice, daughter of Zion, your king comes to you, riding a colt." And perhaps as they had lived in expectation for a Messiah who would come, mind you, I told you that they were under Roman rule. They suffered severely under the taxes from Rome, so much so that tax collectors were despised. The likes of Zacchaeus, they did not like them because they worked for the Roman kingdom or the Roman Empire. And so they saw in Jesus someone who could turn around things for them, who could bring about a revolution, somebody who would say, "Enough, Rome, we want to go back to the times of King David." But as they shouted, they missed something. You see, when a king would come and visit a place riding on a horse, it would be known that he's coming with a purpose to make war. But Jesus comes riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Yes, donkeys are a mode of transport, but if you know donkeys, they are lowly, meek, and if somebody comes and people are making all this noise for other people, it would be like, "Wait a minute, what is happening?" Because I read a story of two slaves who were in Jerusalem that day, and they heard this sound, and both of them rushed to see what is happening. This sound is unusual. What is happening today? And one of them managed to go and see. The other one was asking from behind, "Is it a king?" And the other one was saying, "No, it's not a king. But what is it?" Says, "No, it's a man on a donkey, not dressed in royalty. And there are no soldiers accompanying him." Because that is the kind of kingdom that Jesus brought. The kingdom of justice and righteousness. As we heard in Zechariah, God says, "I will remove the chariots amongst you." Because the kingdom that I am introducing is a kingdom that is of peace. And the people, they missed that. How is it? It is also possible that at times we miss it. We come to Christ with these expectations. We come with expectation that when we have faith and believe in Christ, all will be well. There will be no storms on the way. We will be immune from troubles. But unfortunately, Jesus says, "Whosoever will follow me, they ought to deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me." Because Jesus' way is the way of the cross. And even as he enters Jerusalem, this shows that these people, yes, previously in Galilee, they wanted to make Jesus king after he had fed 5,000 with bread. But when he saw and knew that they wanted to make him king, he disappeared from them. But this time around, he comes to Jerusalem riding on this donkey. And when the Pharisees say, "Teacher, rebuke these people," Jesus says, "No. If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." There are situations in life wherein our praise of God feels like it's being stifled. When we say, "No, I thank God I missed an accident," and somebody says, "Ah, never mind. It was not God, it was just sheer luck." And we keep on thanking God for certain things. And people who do not know how God works in our lives would say, "No, it's not God." But there are also storms along the way that want to take all the praise away from us. But as Jesus goes in to Jerusalem, knowing what lies ahead for him, he says they must go on in praise. However, as they came praising God, there were others who were not happy. the Pharisees. And Luke says something with the other gospel writers do not mention. That is near Jerusalem, and looked at the city, he went. And I took some time on this weeping. And for me, I remember that it's just this verse and also one in John 11:35, where Jesus went. And I wondered, why did Jesus weep? Jesus wept because in as much as he's journeyed with these throngs, in as much as he's journeyed with this inner circle, they still don't understand it. They still don't understand the kingdom that is ushering. As you shall see throughout the week, that even amongst his disciples, there were others who come to Jesus and say, when you come in your glory, when you come in your kingdom, let each one of us sit on your right and the other on your left. And Jesus says, this is what the Gentiles look after, but this is not what I come here for. But that the least, the greatest should be the servant of all. Because if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to be the least one that ought to serve one another. In as much as Jesus came with his kingdom principles, it always conflicts our world principles. We're living in times where it is me, myself, and I. But Jesus' kingdom is that it is for all of us, because the grace of God is sufficient for all of us. And so, as Jesus entered Jerusalem, for me, the take home was that, yes, he entered those many years ago, as prophesied by Zechariah 500 years before, but today we are reenacting what happened. However, our hearts is the Jerusalem that Jesus seeks to enter. In Revelation it says, behold, I stand at the door. Whoever hears my voice and opens for me, I will come in and dine with. Because there is an invitation, open the gates for the King of Glory to come in. He is the King of Glory, the Prince of Peace. And today, it is my wish that in as much as we celebrate the Palm Sunday, but we can open for Christ and the principles that he's introducing to us in this kingdom. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of helplessness, Christ brings peace. And this kingdom is rejected. Unfortunately, in our schools, I've heard, there's no longer assemblies for prayer. And then we wonder why our children are so angry, manhandling teachers, killing one another, because we've shut the doors. I know the schools were in, some teachers, they would have prayers separately for their children. But how I wish we could have a situation wherein all schools will go back to having prayer. Because God says in his word, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face. I in heaven will hear and heal their world. And unfortunately, it is not only the Pharisees and the chief priests and those who were with Jesus who misunderstood the kingdom that Jesus brought. And unfortunately, even the Christians of today, because we come with expectations. When people went out to Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, when did you arrive here? And Jesus said, do not want me because of miracles, but because of bread. For some people, we come to Jesus because we want power, we want status, we want miracles. And perhaps that's the reason why you find other preachers, they drive in these limousines, and they have bodyguards. And that unfortunately leads to congregations wanting to live a higher life. But our Christ is one who comes down and begins to serve each and every one of us. And so, as I close, as Jesus wept, Jesus weeps when we turn away from him, when we reject his kingdom and his offer for peace in the life that we live in. Perhaps, as I said, in our Christian gatherings, we reject Christ. And one of the Bible verses says that we should be entertaining strangers because we do not know. Some have entertained angels, because Jesus says, as you did to the least of this, you have done it also to me. And so I pray that during this day and throughout the Holy Week, we can be able to reflect on that which Christ came to introduce and think, reflect, and ponder. Am I like those who expected a military revolution? Or am I the one who expected God's kingdom that will be experienced by all people in the manner that I love, react, and reach out to people? So that, as Jesus said, let your light so shine that all people might know that you're my disciples. Let us be sensitive, therefore, to the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that at the end of the day, Christ might be seen in us. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Reverend Nobulelo, we thank you for your ministry to us this morning, and we wish you well as you continue on your journey. The Reverend Nobulelo will take leave of us now. She's taking service at St. Mark's down the road. It's a tough thing, eh? Considering we only work one day a week.